Elliott's house begins now. Now, again, this is a Packers-centric radio program and YouTube program, and however you consume our program, we appreciate you. And I want to have the discussion of what's encouraging and potentially discouraging, as Tausch says those words, about what we saw in the preseason from them. But Jesse, despite all the guff he took, he was in attendance with not as nice of seats as Kelly Call, our friend who did just a bit outside the Brewers documentary of the 1982 team had. But I think we need to spend a little bit of time looking back on yesterday, because I was amazed. Like, I knew, Tausch, that Bob Uecker was beloved. I understood that he was an icon. He was the soundtrack of my childhood. He was for many generations, because he did the job for, what, 53, 54 years? But even still, I still managed to be impressed by everyone in their seats well before game time.
Never happens.
I got an alert on the new ESPN app, because I always want my Brewers scores now sent to me, so I have that as an alert, that alerted me that the game start was delayed.
That was probably one of the easiest predictions you're ever going to have.
Right. But that, again, great, right? Tells you what he meant.
Yep.
Jesse, you were there when you weren't fending off Twitter critics. You were locked in. What did you think?
It was awesome. It was incredible. The whole season has been dedicated to Bob Uecker, and the tributes have been coming from every stadium the team has visited on the road. Every stadium has done something. Every franchise.
Cubs. What the Cubs did was awesome.
We hate the Cubs. Yes.
What the Cubs did was great.
The Cardinals honored him really well earlier this season. Like, every franchise has done something amazing honoring the life and legacy of Bob Uecker all season long. And Sunday afternoon, while that has been a common theme throughout the course of the season, Sunday afternoon was kind of the culmination of it. And so it was obviously Bob Costas moderating, and then this panel of Robin Yount, Mark Ananasio, Christian Yelich before he's playing a game an hour later. George Brett comes
Teddy
into
Simmons.
Town. The entire panel sharing stories, and the way that they presented it, where they said, let's take a trip around the bases with Bob, was really a cool storytelling method where, okay, here's his playing career. Here's his coming out as a celebrity and on the national stage. And here's the voice of the Brewers, and then recognizing his legacy. Like, it was awesome. There were no empty seats, at least that I could tell around us, and we were up again in the obstructed view seats in the fourth level. Like, everybody was packed in. Nobody was at the concession stands. Everybody wanted to experience this together. We were all in the stadium on time. They had cool stuff set up all around the concourses and around the stadium. Up north, Joe and I went out to the Bob Uecker statue out front before we went into the game, and there were flowers.
Put a Coors Light up on top of it.
There were beer cans, and people were taking pictures, and there was a line going back, like, I don't know, 10, 20 people at a time. It was really cool that everybody, and all kinds of Uecker shirts everywhere, all around the stadium too. Everybody was there with a common theme and a common, connection, and that was honoring Bob Uecker yesterday. It was really cool.
And the players all had Uke as the name on the back of their
jerseys. They were out in the dugout before watching. You had Adames doing that from the Giants standpoint, the Giants manager, because you're kind of thinking, boy, this thing's dragging out. You didn't sense that there was any, like, let's get this thing moving. Now, I'm sure there were some people that were like, let's get this thing moving. But, I think we all knew about Bob Uecker, the impact and how much he's meant to everybody. But from the organization standpoint, you have to just give showers of bouquets of whatever, because I think it's really easy for, your star, if it's a star player, Robin Yount, Bob Uecker's impact was even bigger, and to account and to do what they've done and renaming the press box or the press facility there, Bob Uecker, and putting the microphone up, and then bringing his whole family and his kids and the love that the team has shown him, what he has meant to them. I just don't know if there's anybody, and we saw it whenever they'd win a wild card or clinch. it was just, it's really rare to see that, where you are, he is such a part of it, and he was, and he still is. That part of it, I thought, could not have been executed at a higher level. I thought that part of it was great.
I love the fact, Jesse, that you had an obstructed view seat. And here's why. Because there are very rare times, and I remember it, I didn't have an obstructed view seat, but I sat in the worst seats I'd ever sat in as a college junior, maybe I was a senior. But in County Stadium, I had never sat in the upper deck with the exception of the World Series game I got to go to as a kid. For a Robin Yount's 3,000th hit. And there are certain moments where you just want to be there for it, and it doesn't even matter how great your seats are. And you experienced that yesterday. Like, yes, would you have been happy to sit in Angela Lansbury's seat next to Kelly Call? Of course. But, like, what did it mean to you to actually just be there?
Yeah, that was our whole premise going on. Like, we just wanted to find two tickets to get in the stadium for it. And I'm sure there were many other people that felt the same thing. Like, it was a moment for Brewers fans to all come together and say, like, this is just something you want to say you were there for. And to get the commemorative pin that they handed out on the way in. I know they had some tickets that you could actually purchase that were, like, commemorative tickets for that specific game. Like, everybody understood the assignment yesterday, which was honor the life and legacy of Bob Uecker. And I thought the team did a tremendous job setting up the presentation that they did. And I thought the fans, you know, were awesome as well as being in there and celebrating and knowing, like, you know, there were laughs, there were tears, and there was a lot of applause and just a thankful celebration of his life.
Did you think, I know we had this conversation on this show multiple times over the years. I think one example was when the Badgers celebrated Howard Moore, who we all love. And the idea of celebrating before games versus after them. Did you think in any way that their emotional state was a factor in the way yesterday went? I did not. I thought it was, this one wasn't one of those type games, but what did you think, Jesse?
No, it was disappointing the way the game ended, obviously, that they blew a save in the ninth inning. I think everybody would have capped the day to, you know, come away with a one-run victory. I mean, I guess I'd yield any thoughts on that to the guy who actually played professionally. Like, when you have an emotional...
That's really nice of you to yield.
Thank you. When you have an emotional experience like that before a game, like, what happens?
It always, the senior day for Badger, you know, you're doing the Badger game.
That's the other one.
There's always that, you're a little nervous as coaches because you're seeing your family and it's going to just be a cascade of emotions and to reset to get out there. And I think there was a game against Penn State when Bill O'Brien was coach. We were heavy favorites and we stunk. And everybody's like, oh, all these emotions. And I think there's a part of that, but there's other things at play too, because eventually it just comes down to playing and executing. And, you know, usually you have an emotional day like that, you elevate yourself. That obviously you thought you were going to find a way to win that game. You know, Friday night when we were at the game, same thing, blew a save. It's, you have to start watching how is this going, because for as great of a season as this has been, all of a sudden you take a look back and the Cubbies, they're closing up shop. They're getting tighter. It's down to five. Mm-hmm. So it's still a long way to go in that regard. But there's a couple of things. I'm not a Bob Costas fan. I've been very clear about that from the jump. I know Bob and Bob were best buddies, and they did that. I would have loved to have seen BA run that whole thing. Just my own opinion.
Bob is Bob.
And there's a lot of awkward, like, pauses. There's just it's not a Bob guy. Bob Costas, that is. So
he's not on your Bob power rankings.
He is definitely not going to be on my Bob power rankings. No, from smugness factor, he will make it. But the only thing I wish there was none, and I don't know if NBC didn't give the rights to play any of the Johnny Carson, the clips and the fun. I would have liked to have seen more of the humorous side. Like Robin Yount, I don't know if he did the microphone thing on purpose. I was going to text him. I figured I'd give him a couple of days. But you know, when he had the microphone and he had it flipped backwards when he was talking into it, and then he said that was for Uke. I don't know if he's that good of an actor, Because it looked like he just didn't have that part of it. But to finish it the way he did, I would have my only negative other than Bob Costas is I would have loved to have been more humorous. Like I think Bob Uecker is known for that part of it, and this was an emotional day, and I love the fact that his wife and family and they all were out there for the first, but all of that stuff was just awesome, and some of the stories, you know, where he started playing and everything else. But I would have liked a little more humor, if I'm just being honest. That's what I would have liked.
Can I tell you something that was accidental? Oh, Jason flipped on us. Something that was accidentally funny yesterday. So there was a flyover after the national anthem, and it was in one of the planes that you had flown in a number of years ago, in like 2018. He was up there with some pilots, and it was in that specific plane that they did the flyover. But it was late arriving to the state, so it actually took like an extra, it felt like forever. It might have only been 45 seconds or so, but it was like a long time between the end of the national anthem and the flyover. And there were some birds at the top of the stadium that when the anthem ended, the birds started flying around. And to me, that was like a Euchre joke. Like, oh, he got a flyover for his tribute.
Yeah, we missed that
part. It was some birds that were flying.
That's fun.
It was really funny. And then obviously the flyover, then it got back to being serious again. But that was a funny thing that for us in the stadium, that happened. We all had a good laugh about that.
And then you got stuck in the parking lot.
Yeah, they got to fix how we get out of there.
What do you want them to do?
I don't know.
The egress was problematic.
Packers need to fix that, too.
We figured out getting in. We can't figure out getting out.
Tricky.
Getting in's good now. And there was some consternation about the no cash anymore, and you do it on the phone. That works well.
I'm not even sure. How are they going to pull a tow truck in there and tow your car? We didn't want to risk it. We parked on Friday. But I wanted to leave after the 7th. Luckily, Eleanor said, nope, let's not. And obviously, Contreras hits the home run, and glad we stayed. Got out of there at a relatively decent, but it was a longer wait than I would have liked to.
I am glad that you feel very differently about Quick Trip than you feel about Bob Costas.
I mean, do you guys honestly, and I know Bob Costas is an icon, and he is a broadcasting legend. He's a Hall of Famer. Was he awesome yesterday? Was he?
I guess he was good.
Was he awesome yesterday? Did you learn anything new? Like, I'm just being serious.
Again, he has had a very long history with Bob.
Absolutely,
Uecker.
And he could have been a voiceover guy. Like, no doubt about it. And it's awesome that because he's a busy guy and he came and I respect the heck out of that part of it and that relationship.
But you don't like him.
I don't.
I think I'm not. I think
no,
you're
but it's not. I can.
Disdain
I can
for
have.
Him.
I but I can have separate opinions. Did he do a great job in
right,
his narrating yesterday?
I would argue that he has a much longer history with Bob. That look, I love Jeff Levering. He's become a good friend.
Oh,
of
they
ours.
Did a great job with Sophia.
Right.
I'm assuming that I don't know what beer they had in their mug.
Can I tell you? So it was right after they did that at the seventh inning stretch. They did a cheers to you at the seventh inning stretch. And when they had these two big pints, and Levering takes the mic and he goes, "And everyone raise an ice cold Miller Light." It felt like he was slapping me in the face after I had just seen all the tweets that had came
I
back.
I could see
way.
That.
I guess I'm just saying he has a long history. You obviously have your opinion about him. I didn't think it ruined.
No. I just said it was a great deal. I'm just saying.
I know, but you feel very strongly about him. Like,
I'm not saying
about.
He shouldn't have done. I'm just saying.
You kind of are, though.
You no, not really.
To see BA.
I thought he did a fine job.
I thought
job
BA would have done
yesterday.
A better job, yes. I do.
Even though he doesn't have nearly
BA
the same
is the
length of history. 25
years with him, right? BA's been here a long time. What I did learn is that.
2008.
How many?
2008 he started, so.
Oh, what is that?
16 years.
That's
with
a long time. A long time.
We've had Quick Trip for a long time and loved them for a long time, and Jesse loves getting the samples and eating the whole plate.
Yes, we all love Quick Trip. Life doesn't slow down, and neither does Quick Trip, and whether you're grabbing an iced coffee, a fresh bakery treat, or a quick meal on the fly, Quick Trip's got you covered. You need to top off your tank? Their fully guaranteed fuel has your back, and the perks, free ATMs, free air for your tires, friendly faces, and sparkling clean stores, and that includes the bathrooms. And if you're not a Quick Rewards member yet, what are you doing? You're missing out. Sign up today, start earning discounts on fuel, future purchases, and even enter exclusive sweepstakes. Swing by and make life a little less hectic and only at Quick Trip. Plus, don't miss this week's hot savings. Nature's Touch Milk, $2.99 a gallon. Nature's Touch American Cheese Singles, $1.99 for a 12-ounce package. Nature's Touch Cream Cheese, 99 cents, and the Applewood Smoked Bacon, 2 for $5. Life is busy. Quick Trip gets it. Fill up, fuel up, and grab everything you need, and we'll see you next time.
More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Holding out hope that the Green Bay Packers, not that they necessarily need him, might acquire this guy, or the Washington Commanders would trade him away, which would weaken their team. Terry McLaurin has a new 3-year deal per Adam Schefter with the Washington football team. So he has gotten what he wanted. Scary Terry. Taken one pick after Jace Sternberger in the third round of the 2019 NFL Draft.
You like, how's the view from the cheap seats, Mickey? You like when you could, because
first
there's
of
that,
all, it's AJ,
and then there's Creed Humphrey. Everybody is always freaking out about that one too.
It's just weird when it's got a guy one pick after.
Oh, I know,
a great player.
I don't disagree. And by the way, that's this business. That's the. What if? And that's the thing that, you know, GMs and coach, everybody has to, when you're making these decisions, that's why I thought it was always such a big deal when Christian Watson got traded. And in the same respect, I think it was Jameson Williams. When you're a divisional team and you're like,
Brian Branch.
Here you go. Here you go.
The Lions got Brian Branch because the Packers traded picks with him too. If he becomes a really good player, you remember that.
Yeah. Yes, because you're basically saying, yeah, we think we know. And the Vikings thought, well, we're not going to have to worry about Watson. And then, sure enough, the first play of the season, his rookie year, he almost torches him for an 80-piece nug. Instead, he drops it. And some people say, well, that was a precursor to it. So it's the that's part of the deal here. And obviously, Scary Terry has done a very nice job, and not surprising that Washington, with their quarterback on a rookie deal and trying to win now, takes care of their veteran player.
His deal worth up to $96 million. That is the report from Tom Pelissero of NFL Network on the numbers. All right, Tausch, I would argue that one of the things that if you're looking at what makes you feel really good about this team and what maybe concerns you or what encourages you and what discourages you coming out of training camp for the Packers is that Matthew Golden looks pretty blank and good. That's got to be encouraging. What's on your encouraging list?
So I think on Friday we discussed, and I know Jesse was gone, but what would I feel good about on Monday if we did this? And I said, well, I want Matthew Golden to look the part and really validate where he's at. I think that obviously made the big play. And then I said, let's start seeing some of all this work and this emphasis that Jeff Hafley has been putting on turnovers. Let's see it. And I know, oh, it's the second string, it's the third string. You want to start seeing some of the fruits from your labor. And we saw that. And will that carry over in 2 weeks to Detroit? I don't know. But it certainly ain't going to hurt. So Matthew Golden has established himself, and tell me I'm crazy. Him and Dobbs are going to be your starting wideouts, regardless of who's healthy and not, come two Sundays from this weekend. That's where we're at with this operation, and I think it's the way it should be. Matthew Golden's the real deal, and he is going to get opportunities earlier than I think we all thought because he's earned them.
He does look like the real deal. I still think there will be growing pains, as there are with every rookie. But, you know, the catch that he makes on the throw from Malik Willis, that was a big, big league adjustment that he made to that ball, right? It's thrown inside. He's outside the defender. He crosses over him for a 39-yard diving, juggling catch. That's the kind of stuff that special wide receivers do. It was not thrown. Either he didn't run the route where he was supposed to run it, or it wasn't thrown where it was supposed to be thrown, but in the end they made it happen. And that's what special players do. I thought that was incredibly encouraging. What other things stood out to you during the preseason that made you feel better about where this team is headed?
Yeah, I think you're seeing a little bit of emergence. I thought Kalen King on Saturday showed his willingness to kind of get his nose in there, and I don't know what's going to happen. You know, if Hobbs is going to be able to get back, and I think Kalen King has secured himself a spot on this team, and I think there's maybe a little bit of bouncing and thoughts that maybe he wouldn't. I just feel really good about this defense. I think the amount of pressure with different people. I mean, Cox makes a big play. They're double teaming him on that, and he still beats. You know, he beats the outside help, and then the tackle isn't there to help. You know, to get his hands on him, he makes a play, and there was other guys around. I thought the early on the cross dog, which with cross dog blitzes, basically you send one linebacker opposite A gap of the center, and then the other backer loops around, and it's called a cross dog, and Quay Walker's right there to bring him. There's a lot of things to love about the Coop Quay Walker operation. There's different the versatility and the athleticism both guys bring is going to give Jeff Hafley a lot of tools in his tool chest if maybe we're not getting home with four. So I think from a defensive standpoint, I feel a heck of a lot better about that. And I felt really good about it going into it. If Lucas Van Ness does anything that what we've heard about at practice and what we've seen in small doses, all of a sudden you're feeling really good about where this defense can be, because I do think you're seeing an aggressive mindset from Jeff Hafley, and guys now with another year in its system, you can really nuance people, and you haven't even scratched the surface. I think he threw a little something out there just for Detroit to take a look at and for his guys to say, all right, you got the lab is working. What other concoctions do we got back there for Goff and the boys from Detroit?
Jesse, what things jumped out at you that made you encouraged?
Matthew Golden was the one that by far stood out to me from his performances. I feel really good about what he looks like as a number one wide receiver potentially down the line. Mm-hmm. There was actually a Giants fan sitting in front of us yesterday at the game. They didn't know it was Euchre Tribute Day, and so they were like, "Oh, what's going on here?" So that was
New York Giants,
San Francisco Giants at the Brewers game, right? Mm-hmm. But he asked me once we started talking like football. So he's like, "Hey, so I'm in a fantasy draft. Like, should I take any Packers receivers? Like, should I take Golden?" I'm like, "Well, is it a keeper league? Because if you're going to say like for a couple of years now, Golden's probably a pretty good option. I don't know if he's going to be the guy immediately, but he'll have an impact for sure in the next couple of years. I feel good." I told him Tucker Kraft. I said, "Take Tucker Kraft if you're going to take anybody for the Packers.
Get some mac and cheese if you take Tucker Kraft."
There you go.
You?
But yeah, feel good about Matthew Golden. Feel good about Malik Willis as a backup quarterback.
That's who I was going to say. Yeah, took mine. Yeah.
So those are the two that stood out positively for me from the preseason.
Raiders come to you and say, "Hey, we need Malik for a third." What are you doing?
Well, make it a second, because the third round draft pick thing is
no, it's
real.
A third. And you know what? Yeah. If he plays 70% of the snaps, your guy got hurt. AOC. So I don't even know. I think what?
Nothing.
Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah. What?
Nothing.
Am I missing something? Third round pick, you doing it? You can't. If I'm Goody, I can't do it. Jordan's still fighting the thought. We are here to win now. Mm-hmm. We have Malik here. You're going to end up, if he is as impactful as he was last year, somebody's going to take a flyer, and you're going to get a fifth or sixth round compensatory pick just based off of that, into that little equation machine that you have. But Malik Willis is somebody that I think teams have seen. He's rehabilitated himself to the point where people are like, he can be a starter in this league. And it's not just from this, but obviously he did it when the money was on the table last year. And I feel very confident. I think Matt LaFleur, if he's being honest, I think he loves when he gets the opportunity. He wants Jordan Love to be out there. Don't mince words. But I think he loves the challenge of having a Malik Willis-led offense and say, we can do some stuff. He showed it last year, I think, in some of the high points of his coaching career, actually, where when he found ways to win with Malik. And now I think Malik is comfortable in what he's doing, and he's throwing some good balls.
Yeah, I thought that was what I was going to say, is that obviously he was fabulous, so much better than you could have even expected him, given how much time he'd been with the team, to lead them to victories, again, against two teams from the AFC South that weren't very good last year. But the bottom line is that now he looks like a guy who you can utilize.
He's got his confidence.
And you can run more of your offense instead of limiting it and giving Josh Jacobs the ball 32 times. But he also does add an element. And I don't know, what happened to SoCal? Who was it? SoCal Steve? No, SoCal. Somebody in SoCal.
SoCal.
Yeah, Steve, right? Steve in SoCal. I still don't think that they should replace Jordan Love with Malik Willis in the starting lineup, as he was trying to argue. But the fact of the matter is that, and Matt LaFleur acknowledged it after the game on Saturday, that running element is a total different element than Jordan brings. Like, it is different. Jordan Love is mobile. He ain't that kind of running mobile. And so that doesn't change that he's the guy. It doesn't change anything. But what it does change to me is it is not as catastrophic as it would be in many, many, many other NFL quarterbacks' cases, that if he had to miss a few games, you have a guy that can win. You can definitely win with. And he's even better than he was last year when you won with him.
The Packers have not had a better backup quarterback situation in a decade. And you can make a really good argument, with the exception of teams that don't have a starting quarterback, Harbaugh this.
I don't know what that means.
Who's got it better than us as a backup quarterback spot?
Oh, okay.
Nobody.
What do you mean? You don't know the Harbaugh part within the context of what I was just talking about?
No, I thought maybe he believed in playing two quarterbacks and getting the other quarterback onto the field.
Am I being unfair being critical of Jason here?
I don't believe in being critical of anybody at this stage of the game, but it was a little difficult to follow what you
all
were
right,
saying.
Well, but my point is, I'm looking at...
Thank you, Jesse,
I'm looking at Minnesota, and they're picking up Wentz, who didn't do anything all training camp. Now,
like Sam Howell III.
You could say the Bears, they love their guy, and I love his story, and I love how he handled it, so I'm not going to badmouth him. Not going to badmouth that, but you start looking around. What did the Eagles do? Traded to get Howell? Not Thurston, not Lovey. I don't even know what they get. Sam Howell. That's so you start looking around.
Lovey.
You start looking around the league, and there's bigger names out there that I think people have. Green Bay's backup quarterback situation. It might not be the best in the entire NFC. But it certainly is. It's certainly top three or four. Mm-hmm. And I think Goody, again, this is where everybody that crushes, he did what he needed to do last year. And by the
no
way,
doubt.
It looks as if he's doing that same thing as depth comes from the offensive line, even though we don't know anything about this young man that they signed. He ain't just going to sit pat.
Dolly Parton.
He ain't going to sit pat. He's not.
He's not. And they don't have as many quarterbacks as the Cleveland Browns have. But I think they've got a really good backup, and I think Malik Willis reinforced that. Now, he did throw a pick. It was a ridiculous interception.
Ground, didn't it?
Again, I didn't get a great review in the press box, but it was questionable to be sure.
By the way, it was a dumb throw by him. His underneath
right.
throw was
That's
wide
what
open.
I was. That was what I was trying to get to. Is that he still ain't perfect. So, but he is certainly
Poe Buddy's nerfect.
I don't know what that means either. Is that a Harbaugh
you really don't
too
know
that I don't know?
Jesse, you know that one.
I've never heard anyone say Poe Buddy's nerfect.
You replace the N and the P?
Yes, I get what you did.
6'7".
You've never.
If you can,
what
like
is going
it.
On with
I
you
like
guys?
I like it. I
you
just
guys,
never
this creativity
heard of it.
On Monday, just not there today.
Core values are an important piece to any successful business and radio show, especially if you can understand the references that people are making. And Lakeland Supply is no different. They've been displaying their core values in the industrial supply space for over 40 years. Integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. They're ISO certified, a Future 50 winner, top rated in customer satisfaction, and they believe in giving back to the community. Lakeland isn't one of those catalog companies either. They work to be your packaging and supply expert, building plans around what you want. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. So set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment right now. Go to the next window over from your YouTube tab and go to lakelandsupply.com. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. But I won't cry for yesterday. There's an ordinary world. Somehow I have to find. And as I try to make my way to the ordinary world, I will learn to survive.
We'll get to our discouragements or our concerns, our negatives, if you will, coming out of preseason in the 11 o'clock hour. And then there's also a little bit of news Badgers related that we want to get to then. But let's get to a few of your texts here and in our final 10 o'clock segment. Jesse, let's do one here and then do a couple more after that.
One of the big storylines coming into the preseason, the Adam in Madison asks, how are we feeling about Bo Melton at corner after the preseason?
Yeah, Bo ain't going anywhere. Bo's on this team. He's a critical special teams guy, and he played...
How much,
I think,
DB is he going to be playing?
So I think they're... And again, everyone's doing their roster projections.
Is that on Channel 3000 yet, or when is yours coming out?
Yeah, mine ran actually going into the game as more of a preview, and I don't like to play the... As you know, I don't like to prognosticate.
You don't like predicting anything or...
So I think my job is to give insight,
yep,
and expertise. And not necessarily.
You're an analyst.
Is he going to make the team? I don't know.
What do you think of Bo Mel? I don't know.
I believe I just said he is going to make the team.
No, you did.
First of
you
all,
old bold, you, se- yeah. you old bold rascal.
Second,
what
of
other
all,
bold statements we making today, old partner? Huh?
It's not like an NCAA tournament bracket. I don't want to play the, oh, how many of the 53 did I get right? I don't want to play that. I want to try and give as much insight, and I want to tell people stories. So right now at Channel 3000, I wrote four stories last night in addition to the trade
and
stories
years ago.
So you can read about Nazir Stackhouse and his process.
He's making
trying
the
to
squad.
Make this roster. The history of undrafted free agents.
He put a little Insta post out with the old jersey on. Doesn't that usually mean you make the squad? Isn't that how that goes?
McCole
I don't
Hardman.
Speak Insta, so I don't know.
Check out the Wilde and Tausch Instagram account. It's bustling. If we ever get our
password
back.
Come on, Tony.
McCole Hardman, Christian Welch, and Kamal Haddon. I called them the Bubble Boys.
Well, that's fun. That's fun.
Thanks. You should check it out. It's free, by the way. You don't have to subscribe.
Of that group, whose bubble's bursting?
I think at least two of them.
Mm.
I don't think McCole Hardman's going to make it.
I
think Kamal Haddon.
A nice return the other day.
Is probably Steinhoff back on the practice squad.
Okay.
If he, but because Bo Melton is making this team, and I think Kalen King is clearly making
this
team.
Kalen King, I think, is going to make this team, yes.
Yeah. So that's why I didn't put, even though he's technically on the bubble as well. Now, Jesse, I would say this. There are always some complicating factors. I don't think they factor into Bo Melton. I really don't know what's going to happen with Christian Welch. I have enjoyed covering him in 23 and in camp last year before he had a great camp and got cut anyway. And he had a really good camp this year, and we'll see if he's back. But there are always a surprise or two that you are blindsided by. I don't know. That's why there's surprises. I don't know where that's going to come from. But I do think that there's a couple of guys that are going to start the season on IR. And one of them is Marshawn Lloyd, mm-hmm. obviously. And what that means for the running back group, I'm not sure. But I do think that this has changed in the last, like, post-COVID years. Because now with 16 on the practice squad and the ability to move guys around, they really do think in terms of, and you get a 17th spot on the practice squad if you have an IPP player. They really do think in terms of more of a 70-man roster than a 53.
Did you want to sing OPP after you said IPP?
Yeah, you know me.
I figured I did, yeah.
That was beautiful.
I still don't think, even, you know, let's say Lloyd, we all agree he's going to start the season down. You still think they're going to go four?
Here's the issue that I have, and then we'll take a break and talk a little more about this, but who are their return guys if they cut Hardman and they've got Reed dealing with a foot injury and their number one corner is the guy you would put back there on returns and Keyshawn Nixon? Like, I don't think you want to do that. And so Israel Abanaconda feels like that gets him the fourth spot potentially. But again, with the ability to move guys up and down, you could make him
practice squad and then pull him up.
A game day elevation, and you'd be fine.
Yeah, the key is, and this is where you got to be bouncing around thinking about what other teams are doing. Every team is in the same spot.
Right.
Now, if your roster is as good as you think it is, you're going to get poached. Going to be a couple guys get poached. You have to make sure the guys, you can't leave somebody out there to get poached if you really want them. And that's the tough part of what Goody has to go through here in the next couple days.
And I wonder if what Kamal Haddon did on Saturday is enough to have somebody who's thin at corner to go and grab him, and how thin the Packers are at corner if they don't want to risk losing him. That's a possibility as well. You don't want to. You want to make sure that you insure carefully, and if you want to do something fun at a Brewers game as well.
Oh, you know what today is?
Go to American Family Insurance.
Stroke of midnight, 25th of August. Today is the 25th. I just checked. Last chance to get out for one of the best experiences we've seen on our show. Brewers fan experience of a lifetime. American Family Insurance. They are here to make it happen. Enter the Superfan Tailgate Sweepstakes for your chance to win a pregame tailgate party for you and five friends, private chef, DJ, field-level tickets, hotel stays, exclusive Brewers merch, and Christian Yelich memorabilia. Enter today. Last chance, everybody. 11:59 tonight. Bam! AmFam.com/Brewers. No purchase is necessary. Again, see official rules at AmFam.com/Brewers.
We continue our conversation about the Packers next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com. Dancing on the edge, about to take it too far.
Wilde and Tausch rolls on. The 11 o'clock hour will kick off shortly, and we'll talk a little bit about what maybe concerns us about this team coming out of training camp.
We got to do our Bob Power rankings, too.
I figured that looked like a good place at 11:15 if we get there successfully. Yeah. I know you want to get to your little...
6 already.
I'm...
You're aware? I know you are.
So in the interest of doing that, why don't we just have you tell us about Prize Picks right now and get on it?
I will do that. And you know what? Had a great weekend on Prize Picks. We had that little freebie. Jess, I don't even know the guy's name.
Avery Johnson.
Not the old point guard for the Spurs.
No, the quarterback of Kansas State.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
Good win for old T.
Was that game
week
played?
Dublin.
Ahoy, matey. You and I, we make decisions every day on Prize Picks, and you know what? Just get it right. If you get it right, you get paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right, and it is simple to play. More or less, 2 to 6 player stat projections. I just went easy this way. I went 2. Start the season off. Go simple. go two, got a dub. You know what? And the beautiful part, withdrawals are fast, they're safe, and they're secure. Prize Picks offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick and easy deposits into your account. And they offer injury reboots. One of your players leaves the game in the first half and doesn't return, Prize Picks won't count it as a loss. Prize Picks is the best way to win cash this football season. Which players are going to go off? Which ones aren't? Make your picks in less than 60 seconds. Turn those takes, those sports opinions, into real cash. Download the app. Use code WI for the great old state of Wisconsin to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Yeah, a little something different. A little something.
What?
Yeah, it's good to be right. Yeah.
Bob is Bob.
Bob is Bob.
And Tausch was right. And run your game.
What a good start to the Prize Pick season. That's good.
The 11 o'clock hour.
Yeah, you don't see that often.
Which I certainly hope that Mark Tauscher has a top 25 greatest Bobs in history. Not,
top five. I'm only going five.
Well, it is the AP poll. There's got to be at least. No. And by the way, Robs.
That's the tricky
Bobbies,
part of this.
Bobbies, Robertos.
Yeah, that's true. It's up to you. That's the beauty of it.
It's your idea.
I understand.
The 11 o'clock hour kicks off in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.